separated lives. Hallelujah. And I really don't know where it's going to go, but I do know that God loves us, that God is a good God. Hallelujah. I was talking to a guy yesterday, and I know him, acquainted with him, and all of that, you know, and he's standing there, and he's a sinner. He's a lost without Jesus. It's evident. How many knows? It's not hard to tell when people are saved and not. There is a vast difference between born again, really born again. I'm not talking about religious folk. I'm talking about folk that have surrendered their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a difference in their life. And it's not, you don't have to wonder who's born again and who's not born again. Because there is a new life comes inside of that person that surrenders their heart to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And you can look at their life just a little while and you will be able to tell that they are surrendered to Lord. I know you're quiet. I know it's been words, not been able to tell a lot of difference between believers and unbelievers, hallelujah, in some areas. But I'm telling you, there's coming a time when hearts are going to be drawn to God and hallelujah. And I find in my life, when he saved me, he separated me. I didn't have to separate myself. It's just that I begin to desire what God desired. I begin to go after what God was putting in my heart and in your spirit. See, I didn't let everybody else tell me how to be a Christian. I begin to go to that Bible and I begin to find out in the Bible, hallelujah. The Bible says, let my light so shine. Well, I got to be separate from sinners. Right? My life should be separate from sinners, not better than. See, our light's got to shine to them sinners. You hear me? Our life has got to shine, not light, life. Our actions, our words, our deeds has got to be on our life. That those without Christ, they look and they glorify our God. That they know that we walk with God. I'm telling you, we're living in a time, it's not hard for me to figure out who walks with God in my arena. I was talking with that guy, and he sit with other Christians that I know of, and it don't matter about all of that, it's, you know, and he's sitting there, and he knows he's been in my presence before, and he cussing and all that. How many old sinners going to sin? They going to cuss. They going to act unruly. It shouldn't shock us, all of that, you know, and we shouldn't get all shocked about it. They're sinners. They're not saved, sir. They don't have the power of God to live a separated life like me and you do. But they need to be in our arena. They need to, when they're in our presence, they don't need to see us being like the world, acting like the world, talking, thinking like the world. Not that we live by the law. We're not talking about getting born again. We're saved by grace through faith, right? But then our lifestyle begins to reflect Jesus. Amen. I was talking with him yesterday and went around. And I can stand amongst sinners. I don't have to sin with them. Right? I don't have to do what they do. I can love them, care for them. Monty, you're going to begin to hear better and better by the Holy Spirit. You hear me? You're going to hear better and better. Not going to be any problem with you to do the will of God. Hallelujah. The Bible says in the book of Acts, it says, and some were healed as they went. Hallelujah. As you walk with God, as they walk with God, I believe they walk deeper into the divine nature, the healing power of Jesus that he did on the cross. How many knows the cross is when Jesus was whipped on the whipping post, when the Bible, see, I was in pain yesterday all of a sudden, and the symptoms, Googling it, says kidney stones. I think that's what it is. 2 o'clock this morning. Went to bed at 10. 2 o'clock this morning. Had to get up. Hadn't been to sleep since 10. Went in there and tried to get every way to feel some, and I had this thought, I can't go preach. I better wake my pastor up or somebody. I thought it's 2 o'clock. in the morning. And I stood there over that sink and I said, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I said, I bind that right now in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is, I bind it. Jesus, you bore my pains. If you got pain, he bore it. Right? See, that's a separated life. Sinners don't have that attribute. They don't have that anointing upon us that she was talking about. Hallelujah. But we have the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we walk in, we can walk in. That pain left me and I went to bed and went to sleep. Hallelujah. See, my faith put a demand on the anointing that's already been done for me and you. See, the Bible says that when Jesus hung on that cross, he said, it is finished. The work that I came and started, the healing I took for you, the stripes that I took for you, the chastisement of your peace was upon me, and with them stripes ye are, Alan, healed. We got to believe it. I was talking with that guy, you know, and he's cussing. He's just cussing Monty. He don't think more about that cussing than nothing. He just, this is the way he talks. And then all of a sudden he said a little harsher cuss word, and he looked at me and he said, oh man, I'm sorry. He knows I'm a Christian. You know, and I left there. He said, see, he said, there's some Christians that he is just comfortable sitting in their presence, cussing and all of that. See, sinners shouldn't be able to sit in your presence as a child of God and feel comfortable. They should not feel comfortable. I can get in the car with a... I don't get in the car with too many sinners. They're just liable to sin any time and I'm going to prison. You know, connected with them. But when they get in my vehicle, they're not going to hear WZZK. They're not going to hear Rock 99. When I bought me radios back down yonder, pray God, and stereos, and I thought, you know, the world can do it. Me and my wife, we had went through the hangout, and we played our secular music with them, and we play that funky music, white boy. Lay down and boogie and play that funky music till you die. We did all that in the world, Richard. And bless God, when I got born again, I thought, you know what? Praise God, I'm separated unto God. The Bible says, come out from among the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you unto myself, and I will be with you, and I will walk with you, and I will be your God. Hallelujah. And so I thought, you know what, praise God, when people, I want to be separate. It wasn't because I was making myself be a Christian. You don't make yourself be a Christian. You become one. You are one. You're not trying to be a Christian. You are one if you have give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. You are a Christian. And that life begins to draw us away from the world, Monty. You know, I felt like that Christ was leading me into bondage. I can't cuss no more if I want to have acts of righteousness. I don't go around cussing. I don't really think my son, he's 33, I don't know, I might be wrong, but I don't think so. I don't think he's ever heard me cuss. He might have heard me say slang words and, you know, ain't the kids in here, dang it and stuff like that. And that's not even good for me to be saying. I need to change it. Instead of saying that, I'll say, praise the Lord. It's just as easy to say, praise the Lord. And so I thought, you know, I mean, I hit my finger one time and I said the F-bomb after I become a Christian. You know, we said those words, the four-letter words and all, boy, we thought that was our language back. Men treat some made-up words. But I said that, and it got me in here. I thought, oh, man, I should have said that. Man. You know what that is in your life? That is called conviction. That's a convincing by the Holy Spirit that that's not good, that that got to be coming out of your life. It's got to get out of your life. That is Him leading you. Those that are led, Romans 8:14. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. He led me not to say that anymore. So I told the Lord, Lord, I can't do this on my own, God. I'm leaning on You. Lean on Him. Lean on Him. He'll help you. He's helping. Listen, He's not called us to be separated by our own power and our own might, but it's by our union with Him and the authority that He's given us to, because we are, according to the Word of God, the sons of God and daughters of God. Well, that guy didn't feel comfortable cussing around me. Right? Why? Why didn't he? There's something different about me. I'm not tooting my horn. There's something different about you. Praise God. I asked Teresa this morning. I said, oh, you know that girl that we used to have people come over and we'd do drugs, ecstasy and cocaine and, you know, partying, pot and all kinds of stuff, and we partied and all that. We were in our 20s. Boy, we were famous kind of with the drug heads till we got saved and we lost all our friends. Well, I asked her this morning, I said, why did she come over? I said, that girl that come over there was one of her friends, you know, and Teresa just sat there and she's visiting and she's one we did drugs with and a lot of them. And so Teresa asked her, said, do you know God? Or what'd you say? Just asked her, do you ever think about God? And I think she told her no. And she never came back. Never came back. She was expecting, let's roll up a joint or something. Let's talk about whatever. She was expecting that, but we had got born again. They didn't know we'd got born again. But God separated us. We came out of the world. We didn't know what we know now. We didn't know the authority that we have in Christ Jesus. That's where going to church and being planted in the house of God and reading your Bible and asking God, when you read your Bible, Lord, open the Word. Let your Holy Spirit write this upon the tables of my heart, God. God, I'm going to get understanding by your Holy Spirit of the Scriptures, Father. Quicken the Word to me. Quicken it about my life. Well, I left, you know, and I thought, God, I thank you, Lord, because you live in me and I contain myself. See, people says, well, we don't. I've had somebody just the other day say, don't judge me. I don't have to judge you. The Bible says, I will know you by your fruit. That's not judging. Right? You know me by my fruit. That's not judging. That's a good thing. I mean, you come in, these new people coming in here, you know, and we calling them in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I believe y'all may be part of them. We've been calling and praying and everything. They come in, they going to know me by what I do. Not just by what I say. The scribes and the Pharisees said a lot of stuff that they didn't do. He said, and Jesus told them, He said, do what they do, not what they say. Because they don't do what they say. I told the Lord, I don't want back down yonder. Oh, God, I was going to quit. Chris, I was going to quit. I was a young Christian. And I had a lot of things in my life. I was out in the world. Now, marijuana and stuff like that, you know, I just seemed to, you know, I just laid it down. You know, but there was a lot of things in my life that I couldn't overcome on my own. And so I'd read the Bible. I didn't understand in there. He said if your eye offend you, cut it off. If your foot, cut it off. And He's talking about offending Christians. See, I I hurt a lot of people before I got born again out of ignorance. Right? Maybe some of y'all didn't. Y'all just been a little baby Ruth bar the whole since you came out and they spanked you on your honey and you went. Well, I was a sinner. I sinned. And the more I sinned, the better I liked sinning, stealing and drugs, and I liked it. I mean, I really, but people said, well, you know, sin's not fun. That's not what the scripture says, and I did enjoy smoking marijuana and getting high. I did. But the Bible says it's fun for a season. Just for a season, it was fun. But you know what, Monty? I figured out I spent $47,000 in 7 years on marijuana alone. I only give $100,000 for my house that's paid for now. I could have halfway paid for it for the marijuana that I smoked up. Anyhow, Jesus said, you, somebody told me the other day, they said, you're judging me. I said, I'm not judging you. I looked at this other person. I said, I'm not here. I didn't come here for all that rebellion. I came to talk to you and see how you are and how everything's going for you and how your life is and all of that, you know. But you know what? The authority that's in your life, if you are walking with God and you are endeavoring to separate yourself unto God, the life of Jesus is being manifest in your life more and more, and I'm telling you, it will bring conviction to people, just your life. I'm down. Give me the first one, Beth. I got to get y'all some scripture out, and I can preach without getting you scripture, but I'd like to give you. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Do not be mismated alliance with them or come under a different yoke with them. Inconsistent with your faith. You hear me? We used to go to Granny. She's here. Love her. I love that family. I experienced a lot of love in that family as a young man, and they didn't serve God. They wasn't serving God. But they come a time when everybody, we would go over on Sunday to Granny's and Pop's house. That's her Papa and Granny. Doris and her husband would be there, whatever. You know, none of them serving God, but me and Teresa had got born again. We left one day, and Teresa, I don't remember if she was crying. Seems like she was. But we had left there, and we just didn't fit in there anymore. And she said, I don't understand. I don't understand. I said, I do. I said, I understand. I said, we're Christians now. We're born again, and we don't got nothing much in common to talk about and things with them. I said, we just don't. Like that, you know, and so we went on, you know, and I run across the scripture where Jesus later, I didn't understand that, but I knew then that it was separating us from people that didn't serve the Lord, as far as sitting around fellowshipping, you know, and spending half the night with, and going over how their views are and what they think about your marriage and what they, and getting taken unequally yoked. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. I didn't write it, but I'm telling you, I do it. Do not mismake alliances with them or come under a different yoke with them, inconsistent with your faith. But what partnership has right living and right standing with God with iniquity and lawlessness? It don't. You hear me? It don't. If I want God's righteousness and I want God's provision and I want God's angels watching over me and I want the blessings to come on me and overtake me, then I have to come out from among the world and be separate, says the Lord. Hallelujah. It's not asking us to have a bad life. All of her people, we have a good relationship with, I reckon. Doris, there she, there, her grandmother is sitting in here, and I get along with her sons and her uncles and all of them. They seem to care for me, or at least they pretend to. But I take it as they do. But whether they do or not, I'm going to serve God. I'm not going to let it get to me. I understand Jesus, he went in there and his mothers, his real mothers and brothers and sisters, he was in teaching a crowd, teaching some people, and they came and they knocked on the door and they went in and they said, Lord, he said, Jesus said, your brothers, your mothers, and your sisters are here. Jesus responded back to them over his natural family, and he said, these are my mothers, brothers, and sisters. Those that does the will of God. That's the ones Jesus was saying, these are the ones I have fellowship with. These are the ones that I can be yoked to. And I can. The Bible says for me and you to follow after those who through faith and patience and endurance inherit God's promises. Right? We can look at their life and say, how did they do it? How did Scotty do it? How did he come from nothing to owning everything he's got? Right? You say, well, I'm not there yet. Well, begin to follow God and ask God, bring me out of bondage to debt. Bring me out of bondage. God, the CNN saying and all of them saying, you know, that the Republicans are holding hostage and the Democrats are this and blah, blah, blah. They're all saying that. And then God's people are panicking, saying, oh, my insurance is going to go up and all of that, you know. And I was thinking about some of that. I've got insurance. But I didn't have insurance when it cost me $150,000 at UAB when I had open heart surgery in 2019. Was it 19? 2019. I didn't. And when it got done, $130,000, and I hung on to the promises of God that I owe no man nothing in Romans chapter 5. And I made up my mind, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to make payments. I'm going to do the right thing. You know, people are watching you to see what you do as a Christian. And then they're going to see you walking with God because you're going to be surrendered to Him. And then I was reminded when gas went to $5 a gallon, I don't know, it's been a lot of years ago. He come up and I said, anybody want prayer? And he come up, you know, he come up here and stood before me and he said, brother, gas is $5 a gallon. He said, would you pray for gas to come down? I said, most certainly not. I said, I will not pray for that. I said, but I'll pray that God, that you'll increase your faith in God. I'll pray for that. Now, I don't know if he liked it, received it, or whatever, but I'm over here having to put $20 in too. And my gas hand's not moving either. And I'm having to put $20 in. It's all I got. And step back and say, praise God, Lord, for the $20 that you just give me. Glory to God. But it won't be long, God. You will increase me. And it don't matter if gas is $10 a gallon, God. I will still fill my tank up. And I went saying that, praising God. See, that's what that separated life does for you. It gives you an assurance when it does get where it's unfavorable that if you will turn and you will trust God, that God will do a miracle. He'll turn the water into wine. Somebody asked me, they said, when y'all do communion, what do y'all use? They want us to be drunkards. I said, what does it matter? What does it matter? I told him, I said, I could use alcohol to fill the church. We're going to have communion every Sunday, bourbon on the rock. Bourbon on the rock. Now, we got the little shot glasses, but, you know, the church, how many knows the majority, not this church, the majority would rule to get a bigger communion cut. Boy, we had the best Sunday we ever had. We got drunk. Woo! Holy Ghost moved on that wine. We don't use Budweiser. I told him, I said, what does it matter what we use? I said, we're doing communion unto God. Hallelujah. Somebody asked me the other day, was that wine Jesus made? All you got to read it, it was alcohol. All you got to do is read the scripture. They in there about half drunk and run out of wine. Yeah, well, Jesus drank. I don't know if he did or not, but I'm not doing it. Right? I just don't want to do it. I know a lot of people have problems with it, praise the Lord. And so, anyways, Jesus can do anything that we can believe him for if we are separating ourselves. Hey, I'm telling you, you're already healed. I don't care what they told. I mean, a lot of them told me, well, you know, you have open heart. Take advantage of it. Get on disability, man. Your doctor will sign you. I said, I can't afford disability. I said, I'm not disabled. I said, they opened my heart up, fixed it, and sent me right back out. I'm anointed to go to work. So I took that 6 days shall a man work, and I took that and I said, glory to God, open heart surgery not going to hold me back. Black God, hallelujah. Went in the other day. Now my son's been working for me for 16, 17 years now. He's knew me my whole life. He's knew me my whole life. You would think so, right? So we go in there, and I didn't think, used to, I'd have to get a buggy to get an operator, tow the operator out. But I went in there, and we're just talking, you know, and I just throwed that operator up on my shoulder, and I just walked down there, and Travis walking beside me, and he said, Dad, he said, you used to couldn't do that, could you? He's went in there with me and seen me get a buggy to tow it out. I could not physically tow that operator out. But you know what I confessed the whole time I was doing that I went through the open heart surgery, and when I come out, I'm going to be a better man in Jesus' name. I'm going to heal speedily. I'm going to be better than I was, and I'm telling you, I have my faith in reality. Reality. He said, but give me the, let's see, nah, let me go on. He says, or how can light have fellowship with darkness? It can't. What harmony can there be between Christ and Belial, the devil? There ain't. Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? They don't. So don't be, it's kind of like this guy, you know, he was talking that I was telling you he didn't feel comfortable. He was talking and cussing, sitting with another Christian. And I noticed the other Christian was kind of quiet, you know, and I'm like, usually they're talking about Jesus. The other Christian. So when he got done talking, I told him, I said, well, sounds like the Lord might trying to be worked with you. And he looked over at me and he said, well, you reckon? And I said, yeah. I said, Jesus loves to work things out for us if we will let him. Well, you know, and I left there and I thought, usually that Christian can't shut up about Jesus. Kind of reminds me, you know, when he told the scribes and the Pharisees, he said, outwardly, he said, you look good outward. You dress up and go to church on Sunday. You go, you know, scribes and the Pharisees. He said, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. He said, you appear right to man. He said, you wash the outside. He said, but the inside is all corrupt. So I went to the Lord one time because I had a lot of faults in my life. And I said, God, I said, I'm not going to bring a reproach to the kingdom of God. I'm just going to turn back. I'm going to turn back. But I'd read the scripture where he said, if your hand offend you, cut it off. If your foot cut, in other words, separate yourself. And the next part of it, he said, because I would rather you enter in the lame than not enter in at all. And a peace came up in me. I was 27 and a half years old, and I knew that God was okay with all of my flaws and faults, just have a heart after him. And I found out later on, praise God, what he meant to David. David had a heart after God. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. He had her husband killed. Right? And then God told me, he said, but after the resurrection, he said, don't make excuses for sin in your life. He said, don't make excuses for it. How many knows he even said in Romans over there, 6, I believe it is, Paul said it this way, he said, sin shall not have dominion over you. See, it's hard for me to sit in a bar and praise God. Right? I know I backslid and went there, and I wasn't sitting there about half drunk thinking, okay, I'm going to drink me a few beers and I'm going to get over here in a minute. I'm going to praise Jesus and preach to him. I'm over there hoping nobody out of the church comes in. Huh? I'm sitting there hoping nobody out of Faith Restoration happens to come in or anywhere else. Why did I feel that way? Because I'm born again Christian, backslid. People says they don't backslide on the Lord. You can't convince me of that. You can't convince me that you can be on fire for God. You can go cast out devils. You can lay hands on the sick and Jesus say, flee from me, you workers of iniquity. You did not have a relationship. I didn't know you. Because the scripture plainly says there that that's going to happen, right? I didn't write it. He did. Now, God's not getting on to us, and I want you to come back. I don't want you to leave here feeling all condemned and all of that, because this separated life leads you into victory after victory after victory, strength after strength. He said, those that wait on the Lord are one with the Lord or serve the Lord. He said, I will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary, and they will walk and not faint. See, God is building up me and you in this last outpouring of the Holy Spirit before Jesus Christ comes back. You can see it all the way in the government. Listen, turn off all the news outlets if you want to know the truth and get in the Bible. And you listen to the Holy Spirit, because there's not one outlet that I put a lot of confidence in. You've got a bunch of liars on there like you've never had before in mine in your lifetime on the news outlets. They don't report the news. They tell you how to believe. They tell you, there was one other day, he said, well, in my opinion, blah, 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 and she stopped, the news anchor stopped and said, no, we don't really care about opinion, what you think. We want facts. What are the facts? Well, I mean, the facts is this, but, I mean, you can see. No, don't give us but, because now you're making us believe. That's what Satan does. He comes in there and he says, yeah, the blessings will come on you and overtake you, praise God, and you'll be blessed going in and out and all of that. You know, you're under grace. You don't have to follow God. He's a liar. He is a liar. The Bible says if Scotty would follow God, follow Jesus, I will not walk blind to the truth in darkness. I will not walk blind to the fact that I'm healed and I can do something about my body when it acts up. I won't sit blind to the fact that if somebody comes in this church that I believe that God is big enough to bring you financial breakthroughs, and I'll preach it here and say it and you lay hold of it and you believe it and you believe that God will do what He's saying from behind the pulpit, and bless God, you lay hold of it, and signs, wonders, and miracles followed those followers of Jesus. The Bible says God, they preached the word, and God was working with them. That's what Teresa just preached us at Sunday school. See, you're going to be the one, you might be the one in your family that separates yourself unto God, and then hardship or something comes, and God says, I want you to, I did it with my mama. They put her, she went into a coma. My sister's sitting here, she lived with her. They called me. We need you to, doctors want you here, nurses want you here. I told her, I said, I'm not coming. They wanted me to go in there. The nurses even told me one time, they said, son, there comes a time when you got to let them go. Well, I'd asked my pastor, I said, when do I let them go? He said, as long as they're breathing, you don't. My mama was still breathing, right? And so I told that nurse, I said, I didn't mean no disrespect, but just come up in me. I said, you go in there and give her a bath and you do your job and I'll do mine. I'm a believer. You are a believer, right? Your job is to believe God. Believe God will bring, cause you to live long, satisfied, not weak, sick life. Long, have more than enough. John 10:10 said that Jesus came that you might have life and have it in abundance, to the full. The word abundance means to the full, till it overflows, nothing missing, nothing. I've not got one pain, Alan, right now in my back and all that, and I couldn't even sit down. Teresa said, is it over? Is my time up? I said, no. Because usually when I need her to stop, I stand up back there, just giving her go ahead to stop, because we got to transition in the services. But you know what? I stood back there in pain. I sat back there in pain. I came on to the house of God, Richard, because I believe I'm healed. I believe that I'm a healed of God. And if I don't feel it before I get here, I believe I told God in that service, I said, I just heard, be it done, that it was done according to that woman's faith. And I stood back there and I said, God, before I leave this house right here, I'm going to receive my healing. That's where my faith was at, Alan. Well, right now, I ain't got a lick of pain nowhere. I'm telling you, not by faith, I do not. When I started, Chris, I did. I even Googled, Teresa Googled the symptoms and so found out what it might be. Googling's good, but don't you take it as your answer. And so I said, well, last night, I come against the spirit of infirmity at 2 o'clock because I've not really gotten up nothing up on the Lord. So something, this infirmity. So I took authority over it, and I was able to go to sleep. Well, then she Googled that. I told the Lord, she went on and got in the shower, and I said, Well, glory to God, everything that has a name has to bow with the name of Jesus. I said, now, if it is that, I've got no doctor proof. If it is that, then right now I curse you at the roots. I command kidney stones to loose. Let me go. I am the healed of God, and I'm not going to suffer like some does. What am I doing? I'm taking authority over, I'm just picking up the mantle of Jesus and saying, Lord, you done it on the cross. You did it on the whipping post. You chastised him and my peace was on you. By his stripes you were healed. I went out one time and my sister and him wasn't serving God. This was B.C. God told me to go out there. Her husband had gangrene set up in his foot and it was going to spread into his leg, and they're at the place to where they're contemplating cutting that foot off, I think, or the whole leg, one of the two. And the Lord speaks to me, and he says, I want you to go out there. Well, for some reason at that time, her husband was upset with me. I don't know why. He had his good reason, I'm sure. So I go out there, and my sister Pat, she's out in the yard. And the Lord, I got out and I told her, I said, let's go in. She said, well, she may not remember this. Maybe she was 30 years ago nearly. I'm just out there, need a young Christian. I'm learning how to walk in faith and now I'm dangerous. I'm dangerous to gangrene. I'm dangerous. You're dangerous to sickness. The devil, he don't want you moving in the neighborhood following this Jesus because you begin to take dominion. You stand out there in your yard and you say, God, you give me this ground that I've trod on, God, right here, Lord, and I take authority over every demonic force that's around this property right here, taking dominion. I've been praying for my neighbors for a long time. They come into Jesus. So I go and she said, well, I said, well, is it your house too? She said, well, yeah, it's my house. I said, well, can I go in your house? You're my sister. And she said, well, sure, you can go. Yeah. But I'm telling you, I said, it's okay. So I go in there, and they're all, now they, all of them serving the Lord later. I go in there, and they're sitting around the table, and they're playing and drinking, and at that time, her husband had an eight ball. Y'all know what eight ball is? If you got one in your house, throw it out. It's witchcraft. You got it? You don't need an eight ball. You need the Holy Ghost. Right? That's demonic. Ouija boards. Tarot card reading. When I eat the Chinese over, I don't get that fortune cookie to see what my future is. I'm telling you, I don't read that junk. I read the Bible. And it tells me that I'm a king and priest, and you're a king and priest unto God. It tells you you have authority over all the powers of darkness. You're kings and priests. You're to rule and reign on this earth with Christ Jesus. Rule and reign. Reign over poverty. Right? Take dominion over poverty. Take dominion. Take dominion over oppression and all of that. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Spend some time with Him. Hallelujah. Fast. Fast and pray. Fast. I don't know. I don't ever led to fast. I'm telling you, you don't have to be led to fast. Jesus told the disciples, He said, when you do this. He didn't tell them, you'll be led by the Holy Ghost. Right? I fast every week. This week, God led me another day. Then He led me another day. So I'm like, well, you want the whole week? Told me to fast, Richard. Then He put this guy on my heart. I prayed for the guy. And I just sent the guy a message. I said, praying for you. Boom. Well, that was on a Friday or Saturday. And Brad come. It's one of his brothers. And Brad come. And he just shuts Brad off. Don't want to hear nothing. All of that when you're away from God. See, the further you get away from God, the less you want Him in your life. The further you drift from your relationship with Him, the less you want Him. And the less He's able to help you. But the closer you are to Him, the more that you want Him. You know that Him in your life. But anyways, I went on out there to Pat's and my sister's. And went up in there and sitting there. And all of a sudden, the anointing moves in there. Drifter laid down over there. And I mean, they found out they could be born again and all of that stuff, you know. And they were a couple of drifters, I believe it was. And somebody with Dunny. I think he's gone now, ain't he? Yeah. But anyways, I'm over there. He's snoring. He's on the couch snoring. And his buddy that's traveling with him, I think, is outside. But anyhow, I told my brother-in-law, I said, I come here, the Lord's going to heal your foot. And he says, well, I love God. He picked that eight ball up and he said, eight ball. Do I love God? I said, Lord, I take authority over that eight ball in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. My heart is pounding like I want to testify in church. He turned that thing over and he said, read it. And I said, I will not read it. So he stuck it over to one of his boys, and he said, read it. And it says, I say not. Well, he told me, he said, I love God. And I said, no, you don't. I didn't mean to be a monkey wrench in the wheel. But how many knows we owe people, if we love them, the truth? We owe them the truth. If somebody is deceived and it's going to take the Word of God to come through and they're deceived on their way to hell, I'm not saying Harvey would, I'm not. You know, we owe them the truth, don't we? The truth sets them free, the Bible says. The truth they know. Well, anyhow, he did that three times. I done took authority. And that eight ball said it all three times. I say not. And he slams it down. I said, I told you. I told you, man. I said, but I'm not here for that. God sent me here to pray for your foot. And he throwed that foot. Well, the anointing moved into place. See, it ain't going there. Yeah, give me a Budweiser, guys. Jesus is Lord. Ha ha. Whoo, y'all feel Jesus in the house. Come on, give me a Budweiser. Fire that joint up, man. Give me some of that good stuff. No, I've been separated, Chris. I've been called and separated. And it wasn't because I was a preacher, Granny. It was because I was 6 months old in the Lord, and the Lord said, because the Spirit of the Lord was on Jesus and anointed him, and the Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It said, Christ in me, the hope of glory. I thought, I got the same anointing Jesus Christ has got. I can go about in this earth led by the Holy Spirit, and signs and wonders and miracles will follow the believers. Your Bible says in Mark 16:17 that these signs will follow you, Pat. Mark 16:17. Now, all of y'all, these signs will follow believers. It didn't say, I'm going to put the fivefold ministry that's in Ephesians on the believers, and then they can operate in the power. That's not what it says. It says these signs will follow every believer. If you're born again, then you are a miracle worker. Not within yourself, but you're not in yourself. You have it. Well, you know what? They was going to cut that, I think they were going to cut the leg off, thinking it's going to move on up the leg, and it'll eventually kill him. And so they were in a major decision-making point there. And so I figure God says, I'm going to step in. Jehovah Jireh, your provider, your healer. And so, out of anger, he throws his foot with pus running out. It was terrible. With pus running out, throws that thing up in my lap, you know, and just threw it up in my lap. And it was really out of anger. You know, my love for him. I loved my brother-in-law. I really did. I loved old Harvey, you know. But I didn't pay no attention to none of that, Monty. I was there on a mission. See, your life is a mission. Teach your kids. I told Travis one time, I was talking about secular music, and he said, Dad, it ain't a sin. I said, I've never said that secular music's a sin, son. Listen to it if you want to. I mean, what good is this? Oh, baby, make the speakers go boom, boom. Well, just show her. Buy her a car. Right? If she makes your speakers go boom, boom, be good to her. Right? Right? Buy her a car. Let her drive nicer than you. Don't give her that. Don't give her that fake stuff. Well, the Lord healed his foot. He healed that foot. I went out there not too long ago. I don't know, a month or so later. He's out there raking leaves. He couldn't rake leaves. Had that tube cut open and all of that. And I looked and I thought, man, I knew it. I knew it without seeing it, that it's real. That we're anointed. That we got the anointing. Then I began to open up God and I said, God, on my job, God, here I am. Use me, God. God used me, about 30, 40 employees down there where I worked. By the time I left there, black God, they were coming to me and saying, Daddy and Mama's got cancer. Would you pray for them? This is happening. I've lost my job. One went over in the bank parking lot because he's one of the big wigs, though, so to speak. But his world crashed in on him. He waited till everybody left, this unworthy little preacher on the street down there. And then he pulls over there sitting in the bank parking lot. Didn't we want to be seen with us? But wanted what we had. See, that's the Christ in you. So I want to encourage you, you know, the Bible says don't sit among people. I'm not saying be religious. You got to guard your heart. If you don't take a stand for Jesus, you might not fit in that crowd. They might not be popular to you, but they'll sit around and say they something different about him. They something different about her. She walks with God. I know they do because you can't get them to do the things they used to do. You can't get them to be angry like they used to be angry. You can't get them to get oppressed like they used to. You can't get them when they're broke to whine and complain. Hallelujah. I went a little over, praise the Lord. Anybody here? Let's just bow our heads. Father, we just praise you and we thank you, Father God.